Testimony for the Physicians and Helpers of the Sanitarium. The Helpers. In such an institution as the sanitarium, where there are many laboring together, the influence of mutual association is very great. It is natural to seek companionship. Everyone will either find companions or make them. And just in proportion to the strength of the friendship will be the amount of influence which friends will exert over one another for good or for evil. All will have associates and will influence and be influenced in their turn. The link is a mysterious one which binds human hearts together so that the feelings, tastes, and principles of two individuals are closely blended. One catches the spirit and copies the ways and acts of the other. As wax retains the figure of the seal, so the mind retains the impression produced by intercourse and association. The influence may be unconscious, yet it is no less powerful. If the youth could be persuaded to associate with the pure, the thoughtful, and amiable, the effect would be most salutary. If choice is made of companions who fear the Lord, the influence will lead to truth, to duty, and holiness. A truly Christian life is a power for good. But, on the other hand, those who associate with men and women of questionable morals, of bad principles and practices, will soon be walking in the same path. The tendencies of the natural heart are downward. He who associates with the skeptic will soon become skeptical. He who chooses the companionship of the vile will most assuredly become vile. To walk in the counsel of the ungodly is the first step toward standing in the way of sinners and sitting in the seat of the scornful. Let all who would form a right character choose associates who are of a serious, thoughtful turn of mind and who are religiously inclined. Those who have counted the cost and wish to build for eternity must put good material into their building. If they accept of rotten timbers, if they are content with deficiencies of character, the building will crumble into decay. Let all take heed how they build. The storm of temptation will sweep over the building, and unless it is firmly and faithfully constructed, it will not stand the test. A good name is more precious than gold. There is an inclination with the youth to associate with those who are inferior in mind and morals. What real happiness can a young person expect from a voluntary connection with persons who have a low standard of thoughts, feelings, and deportment? Some are debased in taste and depraved in habits, and all who choose such companions will follow their example. We are living in times of peril that should cause the hearts of all to fear. We see the minds of people wandering through the mazes of skepticism. The causes of this are ignorance, pride, and a defective character. Humility is a hard lesson for fallen man to learn. There is something in the human heart which rises in opposition to revealed truth on subjects connected with God and sinners, the transgression of the divine law, and pardon through Jesus Christ. My brethren and sisters, old and young, when you have an hour of leisure, open the Bible and store the mind with its precious truths. When engaged in labor, guard the mind, keep it stayed upon God. Talk less and meditate more. Remember, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Let your words be select. This will close a door to the adversary of souls. Let your day be entered upon with prayer. Work as in God's sight. His angels are ever by your side, making a record of your words, your deportment, and the manner in which your work is done. If you turn from good counsel and choose to associate with those whom you have reason to suspect are not religiously inclined, although they profess to be Christians, you will soon become like them. You place yourself in the way of temptation on Satan's battleground and will, unless constantly guarded, be overcome by his devices. There are persons who have for some time made a profession of religion, who are, to all intents and purposes, without God and without a sensitive conscience. They are vain and trifling. Their conversation is of a low order. Courtship and marriage occupy the mind to the exclusion of higher and nobler thoughts. The associations chosen by the helpers are determining their destiny for this world and the next. Some who have been for years connected with the sanitarium were once conscientious and faithful. Their deportment was such as to do credit to the institution. But these are changed. They have disconnected from God, and Satan has allured them to his side. They are now irreligious and irreverent, and they have an influence upon others who are easily molded. Evil associations are deteriorating character. Principle is being undermined. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed.
As the condition of the sanitarium was presented before me in vision, an angel of God seemed to conduct me from room to room in the different departments. The conversation I was made to hear in the rooms of the helpers was not of a character to elevate and strengthen mind or morals. The frivolous talk, the foolish jesting, the meaningless laugh fell painfully upon my ear. The young are in danger, but they are blind to discern the tendencies and result of the course they are pursuing. Young men and girls were engaged in flirtation. They seemed to be infatuated. There is nothing noble, dignified, or sacred in these attachments. As they are prompted by Satan, the influence is such as to please him. Warnings to these persons fall unheeded. They are headstrong, self-willed, defiant. They think the warning, counsel, or reproof does not apply to them. Their course gives them no concern. They are continually separating themselves from the light and love of God. They lose all discernment of sacred and eternal things. And while they may keep up a dry form of Christian duties, they have no heart in these religious exercises. All too late, these deceived souls will learn that strait is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I was astonished as I saw the jealousy indulged, and listened to the words of envy, the reckless talk, which made angels of God ashamed. Words and actions and motives were recorded. And how little did these light, superficial heads and hard hearts realize that an angel of God stood at the door, writing down the manner in which these precious moments were employed. God will bring to light every word and every action. He is in every place. These messengers, although unseen, are visitors in the bedchamber. The hidden works of darkness will be brought to light. The thoughts, the intents, and purposes of the heart will stand revealed. All things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. I was conducted to a few rooms from which came the voice of prayer. How welcome was the sound! A bright light shone upon the face of my guide as his hand traced every word of the petition. The Lord regardeth the righteous, and his ear is open unto their prayer. From still other rooms came the most disagreeable sallies of low wit and vain talk. Some were making sport of individuals, and even imitating the words uttered in meeting. Sacred things were made a subject of jest. Young men and young women were severely criticized. Courtship and marriage were dwelt upon in a low, disgusting manner. There was scarcely a serious word spoken. The conversation was of a character to debase the mind and taint the morals, and all retired without committing themselves to God. Said my guide, God has no place in the affections or the thoughts. Their hearts are corrupt. They have had privileges, opportunities, and great light, and have not improved these blessings. They are weighed in the balances and found wanting. Can this class bring any moral strength to this institution? Will they disseminate a ray of heaven's light? Their words and their example testify the character of the tree. They have only a demoralizing influence. As my guide conducted me through the different apartments, the lack of economy everywhere stirred my soul with grief, for I had a full sense of the debt hanging over the institution. The petty dishonesty, the selfish neglect of duty, were marked by the recording angel. The waste permitted here and there, in the course of a year, amounts to a considerable sum. Much of this might be saved by the helpers, but each will say, "It does not belong to me to look after these things." Would they pass these things by so indifferently if the loss was to be sustained by themselves? No, they would know exactly what to do and how to do it. But it makes all the difference now that it belongs to the institution. This is the fruit of selfishness and is registered against them under the heading of unfaithfulness. In the dining room and kitchen, I saw marks of negligence and untidiness. The floors were not cleanly, and there was a great lack of thoroughness, of nicety and order. These things speak to all who have access to these rooms, of the character of the workers. The impression would not be made that the sanitarium had a class of neat, faithful, orderly helpers. Some have labored faithfully, while others have done their work mechanically, as though they had no interest in it except to get through as quickly as possible. Order and thoroughness were neglected because no one was near to watch them and criticize their work. Unfaithfulness was written against their names. The matron looked upon the same that I saw, but she good-naturedly passed it by and seemed to have no sense of the true state of things. I saw a few trying to change things for the better and pleading for a faithful discharge of duty, but an indignant protest was raised, and most unmerciful thrust were given those who ventured to take this responsibility. Unpleasant remarks were unsparingly made, and feelings of jealousy and envy indulged, and those who would have been true and faithful found numbers so large against them that they were compelled to allow things to drift on as before. These are some of the existing evils at the sanitarium. I went into the bakery, and there saw an error in the work. It was done with more regard for appearance than for the health of those who should partake of the food. I tasted of the bread. It was sour. Of the crackers, they were sour. And this was the kind of food to be given to sick people. Sweet, nice bread could not be obtained. Fashion, with its unhealthful evils, was brought into the very institution for curing the sick. Bread should be prepared in the most natural way, and the greatest pains should be taken to make it good and sweet. Here is a field to exercise care and skill and faithfulness. Sour bread injures the digestive organs and makes a bad qualify of blood. There is the most positive necessity for reforms in cooking. With proper care, bread may as well be made sweet as to be left to become sour in rising. In order to be properly prepared for the stomach, bread should be thoroughly baked, as well as perfectly sweet. Joseph Smith does not act from principle in his bread making, and he is preparing it in a manner to produce disease, which results in great suffering. This need not be. It is an indulgence of pride to gratify the desire for approbation. If there are any who cannot, in their position of duty, firmly and conscientiously carry out reforms at the sanitarium, they should be discharged, and others employed who will not follow in fashion's wake, but will, from conscientious motives, be willing to be singular. Bread is the staff of life. That which we eat is to be converted into blood, nerve, and muscle, and it is of the greatest consequence that bread be prepared in the most healthful manner. Until this object has been fully gained, there should be persevering efforts to bring about a reform. The helpers should take Jesus with them in every department of their labor. Whatever is done should be done with exactness and thoroughness that will bear inspection. The heart should be in the work. Faithfulness is as essential in washing dishes, sweeping the floors, and doing chamber work as in caring for the sick or administering baths. Some may receive the idea that their work is not ennobling, but this is just as they choose to make it. They alone are capable of degrading or elevating their employment. We wish that every drone might be compelled to toil for his daily bread, for work is a blessing, not a curse. Diligent labor will keep us from many of the snares of Satan, who finds some mischief still for idle hands to do. None of us should be ashamed of work, however small and servile it may appear. Labor is ennobling. All who toil with head or hands are working men and working women, and all are doing their duty and honoring their religion as much while working at the washtub or washing the dishes as they are in going to meeting. While the hands are engaged in the most common labor, the mind may be elevated and ennobled by pure and holy thoughts. When any of the workers manifest a lack of respect for religious things, they should be separated from the work. Let none feel that the institution is dependent upon them. The helpers who have been longest at our sanitarium should now be responsible workers, reliable in every place, faithful to duty as the compass to the pole. Had they rightly improved their opportunities, they might now have symmetrical characters and a deep, living experience in religious things. But these workers have separated from God. Religion is laid aside. It is not an inwrought principle, carefully cherished wherever they go, into whatever society they are thrown, proving as an anchor to the soul. I wish all the workers carefully to consider that success in this life and success in gaining the future life depends largely upon faithfulness in little things. Those who long for higher responsibilities should manifest faithfulness in performing the duties just where God has placed them.
The perfection of God's work is as clearly seen in the tiniest insect as in the king of birds. The soul of the little child who believes in Christ is as precious in his sight as are the angels about his throne. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. As God is perfect in his sphere, so man may be perfect in his sphere. Whatever the hand finds to do should be done with thoroughness and dispatch. Faithfulness and integrity in little things, the performance of little duties and little deeds of kindness, will cheer and gladden the pathway of life. And when our work on earth is ended, every one of the little duties performed with fidelity will be treasured as precious gem before God.